Hello, good evening and welcome to what is our 15th and God willing our final Facebook Live this evening on behalf of Bethany Free Presbyterian Church, coming to you here from the manse. So we welcome you. I can see numbers tuning in just as we commence. So as I said, we want to welcome you to what is our 15th and God willing our final Wednesday night live from the manse in Portadown, and we're looking forward to seeing you back in the church at the prayer meeting, God willing, next Wednesday night. I'm going to start our time this evening just by having a wee word of prayer. No musical items tonight, apologies for that. We're going to have a wee word of prayer and then a few announcements and a short devotional message and then a time of prayer. So let's begin by looking to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious and eternal Father in heaven, we come to thee tonight in the Saviour's blessed and his worthy name. We do thank you for another Wednesday night when we can settle our hearts and still our souls before thee. And even in our own homes, we can come together, meet around the word of the Lord, and we can listen to its message, and we can prepare our hearts to seek thee and to pray for thy blessing. We want to give thee thanks, Lord. Thanks for thy goodness and thy grace to us. We thank you for keeping us through this global pandemic. We want to thank you, Lord, for preserving us, for meeting our needs. And O God, our Father, we want to praise thee especially for thy hand upon thy church. We pray that as we emerge from this shutdown, that Lord, thou wilt gather the people back again in their own time when they feel safe and comfortable. And O Lord, as we prepare to gather next week for prayer, we ask that thou wilt be pleased to assemble with us as we reopen the doors of God's house again for public worship and prayer. We want to pray, Father, that you will undertake for the work over the summer. We realise that many of the summer outreaches have had to be postponed this year. We think of the Holiday Bible Club. We think of the open air work. We think of the Reach Week at Killigamain. And O God, our Father, we're thankful for the ministry of these witnesses in days gone by. It is our prayer now that though we will not have them in the usual format this year, that Lord, thou will continue to use thy church and give us a burden to be a public witness for thee in the days that are to come. We pray, Father, that Lord, thou will continue to preserve and keep thy church, bless and strengthen thy people. Lord, gather us unto thee, and may praise be offered in thy name and to thy glory once again in Bethany on Wednesday nights and on the Lord's Day. Be with us tonight as we consider the word of the Lord. We pray that thy hand will be upon us for good. Help us, Lord, as we bring what is a short devotional message. We pray that thou wilt bless it and encourage the hearts of thy children as they listen on. And may we all have that longing the one for the other, as Paul longed to be with his brethren, even there in the city of Rome. So hear and answer prayer. We want to pray, Lord, for the missionary cause. We want to pray for our Bible students. We pray that thou wilt minister to them, help them, mould them and prepare them and use them in the days that are to come. We ask this for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. Well, let me again just bid you welcome to our Wednesday night live from the manse of Bethany Free Presbyterian Church. Can I say tonight that as we begin, just to remind you that this is our final Wednesday night live over Facebook. We will be returning to the church next Wednesday evening in the will of the Lord for our weekly prayer time. And throughout July and August, those Wednesday nights are going to focus particularly on corporate prayer. We have been focusing much on the Bible study. As I said, this is our 15th week. 12 of the past 14 weeks, we studied the life of Jehoshaphat. Samuel brought us two Bible studies, 14 and tonight. I'm going to bring a devotional word from the scriptures this evening. So do remember that. A couple of other announcements. Let me just mention that on Sunday morning at 11:30 a.m. is the broadcast as usual. The church will not be open on Sunday. Please note that, and please remember the church will not be open on Sunday. But 11:30 a.m. the usual broadcast ministry will take place. Then at 6 p.m. on Sunday evening, we will be having the next one of our drive-in services. Note the time change. Through July and August, as we have announced, there will be an evening drive-in service each Sunday night in Bethany. Make the meetings known, share the advertisements from Facebook with your friends and as far and wide as possible. So Sunday night at 6 o'clock in the car park is our drive-in service. And then next Wednesday night, we, God willing, hope to be back in the church for prayer. And that meeting, that prayer meeting, will take place in the church building as opposed to the Dr. Elliott Memorial Hall. The church building is bigger, and we want to have the Wednesday night and the Sunday service in the same room going forward over the summer months. Could I also make another announcement? We mentioned this on Sunday. Our children's missionaries from our mission board have put together an online holiday Bible club. The children will watch. It's roughly about an hour each day. They're going to show it on their YouTube and Facebook page, FPC Kids, each day for a week in July. And we are planning to have the activity packs for that online Bible club. And if you want your child, or you know of children who would be willing to watch that online holiday Bible club, it's the 20th, Monday the 20th to Friday the 24th of July. And they want the activity pack to do the worksheets, the memory verses, the crafts. Then you register with Ruth Wilkinson, and the children's name will go on the list. We're planning for that holiday Bible club. So while we're not having a holiday Bible club in the church, we're having a holiday, an online holiday Bible club with Christina Logan, Robert McConnell, and Joyce Walsh from the Mission Board, and we'll bring you further details about that on Sunday. I think those are all the announcements. I want to read the Word of God tonight, reading from Romans chapter 1 and the verse 1. Romans chapter 1 and the verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. And without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means, now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purposed to come unto you, but was left hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Amen. Father, we pray that you will bless the reading of your word, and help me now as I bring these simple, encouraging thoughts to our hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, over the past 15 weeks, we have endured, I suppose, what we have called shutdown. And I don't know about your shutdown experience. I think the past couple of weeks we've started to get out and about a wee bit more, and we've been able to meet friends and relatives outside and now inside. And so maybe we haven't just been as isolated as we were for the first 12 weeks or so of the shutdown. But it's been a unique, a strange and unusual experience for us all. And just this past few days, I've been reflecting on that lockdown, or that shutdown period, as it has been known. And it has, as I have thought about what has taken place, and I've tried to think about Bible experiences that seem more real to us. We can affiliate with those experiences more because of what we have come through. And as I reflect, I was thinking about some of the characters in Scripture and some of the experiences they came through. And the shutdown experience has made us understand their experiences even more. For example, David's banishment from God's house. I can recall, even as far back as a student, preaching on perhaps the likes of Psalm 42 and talking about how David longed for the house of God. When shall I appear before God? He wept when he thought about going with the multitude that kept holy day to the house of the Lord, because he was barred from it. He had fled from Saul and he couldn't get to the house of the Lord to worship. And that went on for a period of years. And I can remember preaching on passages like that and often saying to the people, now our experience isn't the same as David's, but we should have the longing for the house of God. And yet, this past 15 weeks, we now know, we can associate with David's experience when he was banished from the house of God. It has made it all the more real to us. We know what he felt like. We know the longings of his heart, because we've been, not through persecution, but through global sickness and the closing down of the country for the betterment and preservation of the health of the nation. The doors have been closed. We haven't been able to go with the multitude that keep the Sabbath day holy and to sing with a voice of praise and joy. And we understand now how David felt when he penned those words, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" I was thinking too about not only David's banishment from God's house and how that experience is all the more real to us because of what we've been through, but I was thinking of Noah's isolation. Noah built the ark. The Lord told him and his family to go in. The Lord shut the door. There was just Noah, his wife, his three sons and their wives. And they were in the ark. The flood came and took all the ungodly away. And for quite a lengthy period of time, as the rains fell and then the waters began to subside, Noah and his family, just with all the animals, no other human fellowship, no other believers to gather with. They were in a worse position than we were. We could gather around the computer, the laptop, the phone, the tablet, and we could watch online broadcasts. Not so for Noah and his family. They worshipped the Lord in the ark as a family, recalling God's word and meditating upon it and praying and praising him. But the point I'm making is they were isolated in that family unit for quite a period of time. And then they would come forth out of the ark, begin to populate the earth again when Noah's sons began to have their own families. And they, Noah and his family, they knew what it was to be isolated from the rest of society and shut away. And while again our experience isn't an exact mirror of Noah's, yet I think we have been given a little glimpse of what it is just to be surrounded with your own family unit for what has now been 15 weeks, and it makes Noah's experience even more real, and we can identify with it. But when you come to the New Testament, one of the main characters in the New Testament is the Apostle Paul. And as you read through his epistles, you often discover that he had a longing to be with the saints of the Lord. There were churches that he planted. He went into a city and he preached the gospel. There were numbers converted, and a church was established. Elders were ordained. Perhaps even a pastor or a minister came and was in place. And Paul moved on to plant and establish another witness. And then you would read of him longing to meet with them, longing to see them again. And he would express the desire of his heart. Rome wasn't the city that Paul had established the church in, but a church had been established. And in this passage, he not only says, I am now ready to preach the gospel to you which are at Rome also, but in verse 11, he expresses that real desire that he longed to see and be with the saints of God, the believers who were in Rome. Look at verse 11. He said, for I long to see you. He had heard all about the faith of the Roman Christians. And he had this longing and this desire to fellowship with them, to preach to them, to be among them and to help them and edify them in the faith of the gospel. And can we not affiliate with Paul's desire here for 14 to 15 weeks? We have no church services, no public worship, no gospel gatherings. There has been no fellowship or social interaction with fellow believers. And I wonder tonight, can we say with the Apostle Paul, I long to see you. Long to see you as a child of God. Long to see you in the house of the Lord. Long to fellowship with you again. Long to see you in the flesh. Not just talk to you on the phone or receive the text message or some other means of communication. But Paul could say, I long to see you. Can you say that about your brethren, your sisters in the Lord? Is it the desire of your heart to be among God's people? Philippians chapter 1 and verse 8. He expressed this desire for the Philippian believers also. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Christ. Philippi was a church that was established under Paul's ministry in Acts 16. But he moved on to other pastures. And he could say he longed after them. And so it is with those in Rome. I long to see you. And I wonder as we're Now coming out of the shutdown, and we repeat the advice we gave on Sunday, that those that are ill should not come in the circumstances, and those that are concerned or shielding should take their medical advice in relation to public gatherings. But for those that are fit and well, those that are healthy and young, is it your desire to long to see God's people again? And tonight I just want to leave with you a couple of short points about Paul's great desire to see the saints again. I want you to notice the people he desired to see. Who was it he wanted to be with or to see in the flesh? Well, notice their description in verse 7. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. He wanted to be with the saints. It wasn't the Colosseum that he wanted to see. It wasn't the great spectacle of the gladiators in the Colosseum that he longed to see. It wasn't the pomp and the ceremony of the Roman emperor coming in all his glory through the streets of Rome that he wanted to see and be part of and fellowship with. It was the saints of God. That title is not a title of an elite few. The Roman Catholic Church has hijacked that title, and they claim that saints are only those who have been set apart by the church. They've had a special life or a life whereby the church has recognised it, and they are saints. That's not how the Bible uses this term. Look at the phrase, called to be saints. This is the effectual call of the gospel, where the Spirit of the Lord works effectually in the soul of a sinner, shows him his sin and his need of salvation, and draws him in repentance and faith to Jesus Christ. And I say to you, every such individual, every believer in Jesus Christ is a saint of the Lord. That's proven for us in some other epistles of Paul, Colossians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and in Colossians 1, verse 2, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ. The saints are faithful brethren. And he's writing to the saints at Colossae. And then in verse 4, he says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, the love you have to all the saints. What is it that makes a man or woman a saint of God? It's faith in Jesus Christ. And therefore, this is a title for all believers. And his desire is to fellowship with all the people of God. You notice there, as you read down this chapter, he talks about, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, to the wise and the unwise. He speaks about the Greeks, those that were known for being refined, and they had their wisdom. They were wise men. And the barbarians, they were the savages. Both types of men were saved. There were Greeks that were saved. There were barbarians that were saved. And Paul could say he longed to be with both. And the Bible teaches us that one of the natural effects of salvation in the heart of man is that we have a love and an interest and a desire to be with God's people. Before you were saved, you had nothing in common with them. But when God saves a sinner, he puts something within our heart, a love for the saints of God, other believers. We have a common interest in the things of God. And all of those saints Paul wanted to be with. Have you that desire? The people he desired to see, their description, they were saints. Notice their blessing. Look at verse 7 again. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God. Now he qualifies all that be in Rome. It wasn't the case of he just wanted to be with everybody in Rome, but to everybody in Rome, beloved of God. says, it's not the ungodly masses in their worldly pursuits that I long to see. No, it's those that are beloved of the Lord. Isn't it a blessing to be loved of the Lord? Every believer, every saint is loved of the Lord. The hymn writer said, loved with everlasting love. Based on Jeremiah 31 verse 3. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. He loved us in eternity past. Those or whom he did foreknow, the word means for love, them he did predestinate. He loved us at the cross. The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. He will love me forever. John 13 verse 1. He loved his own, having loved them unto the end. And he will love us unto the end. As God and God shall, while God and God shall be, I am his and he is mine, and his love will know no end. And because God loved the saints at Rome, Paul not only loved them, but he longed to see them. Sometimes our fellow believers, we don't always see eye to eye with them in every matter and in every issue. Some have maybe irks and quirks that don't exactly scratch our itch, as we would say. And there are those that maybe we wouldn't naturally or normally get on with. But I'm making this point to you tonight, that as God loves his redeemed people, then we should love them too and long to worship and fellowship with them. The people he desired to see, their description, their blessing, and notice their appreciation. Paul appreciated them. For look at verse 8. First, I thank God through Jesus Christ for you all. The saints in Rome were appreciated by Paul. Why did he appreciate them? Because their faith was spoken throughout the whole world. They had a public testimony. They witnessed the truth and the gospel of Christ in their lives and by their lips. Commentators believe the merchants and the visitors that came to Rome were aware of these believers, and it was known there's a church in the city of Rome, and they witnessed for Christ, so that their faith was spoken about through the then known world. Paul said, I thank God for that. And we should thank God, because there are believers here, there and yonder, and they have a witness for Christ that is known to others, and they are a witness to the unsaved and dying world. And therefore he appreciated them, and he wanted to be with them, and he longed to see them. I long to see you. Those that were saved, those that were blessed, those he appreciated because of their witness for Jesus Christ. Do you long to see your brethren and sisters again? Second thought tonight is this: not only the people he desired to see, but the prayer he offered to God. Look at the second part of verse 9. It tells us, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers. Because he longed for them, he prayed for them. And we should pray for God's people. What was the substance of his prayer? Look at the second part of verse 10. That I might now, at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. He'd heard about this church. He hadn't preached the gospel there. And yet, when knowing about it, he longed to go, longed to preach the gospel. He said in verse 15, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. And therefore, he made the desire of his heart a prayer. We should make good and godly desires of our heart our prayer unto God. And God answered this prayer. Let me just read to you, first of all, Psalm 37, verse 4 and 5, picking up that theme that the good and godly desires. That's what Paul had. He had a desire, a longing to go to the church in Rome, to see them, to preach the gospel to them. That was the desire of his heart, so he prayed about it. He prayed that the Lord would give him a journey to Rome to fulfill that desire. And I'm saying that when we have good and godly desires, we should pray over them. Pray for them. Maybe you have a desire to witness to a friend, but you haven't had the strength. You should pray about that. Maybe some of the young people have a desire to go on a mission team, but they've never felt the confidence or had the opportunity. You should pray about it. Maybe there are those who have a desire to serve the Lord in a full-time capacity. And let me just add something here. The desire is good, but a desire to serve God is not a call. Maybe you have the desire to serve the Lord, but there's no clear call in your life. Well, pray about it. See what the Lord would have you to do. Because Psalm 37, verse 4 and 5 tells us, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And the psalmist links the desires of the heart with expressions unto God. The desires of the heart, commit your way to the Lord, and he shall bring it to pass, or he shall give you the desires of your heart. And that's what Paul did. He had a desire to see the saints at Rome, to preach to them, to fellowship with them, to be a blessing to them. He prayed about it, and God answered his prayer. How do we know that? Because we read about it in Acts chapter 23 and the verse 11. Where we're told the night following, Paul had testified. He had testified before Ananias the priest and told them of his conversion and his calling. And it tells us the night following, the Lord stood by him. He was ridiculed. He was questioned. He was they were ready to put him to death. But the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. There's the thing Paul had prayed for. He wanted to go to Rome. He wanted to fellowship and be with the saints there. And no men were threatening to kill him. End his ministry. The Lord stood by him that night and said, you've testified in Jerusalem before the Sanhedrin, you will testify in Rome before the Caesar. And God answered his prayer. Now, I don't know what Paul was thinking when he prayed that prayer that the Lord would take him to see the saints in Rome. I'm not so sure he had in mind that he would be taken as a prisoner on a ship, that he would be shipwrecked on the Isle of Malta, then that he would go to Rome as a prisoner to stand before Caesar and be tried. And during that time, he would fellowship with the church in the city of Rome. Because that's what's happened. It tells us at the end, if you read the 20th chapter of the book of Acts, you read how he was shipwrecked on the island of, it's termed Melita, it's the island we know as Malta. And then they departed on a ship of Alexandria, which wintered in the isle, whose sign was Castor and Pollux. That's Acts 28, verse 11. But eventually they came to Italy. And it says in verse 14, where we found brethren. They came to Puteoli, where we found brethren. And it tells us in verse 15, from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us from as far as Appii Forum. And the three taverns whom Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. And when we came to Rome, he met the saints from Italy. And then he came to Rome. And he had liberty while he was there to fellowship with the believers in that city and to testify of the kingdom of God. Verse 23. And they'd appointed him a day. There came a man into his lodgings. He's basically under house arrest. He testified the kingdom of God. God answered his prayer, the desire of his heart, but he answered it in a way that was possibly different to what Paul maybe thought when he was praying. And my friend, I'm saying to you, you have spiritual desires, you have godly desires, then pray about them, for God answers the prayers of our hearts. The prayer he offered to God, that was the substance of his prayer. Notice the subject of his prayer. Verse 9 in the second part, without ceasing to make mention of you, always in my prayers. He prayed for the brethren in Rome. Not only that the Lord would take him there, but he prayed for the believers. Very simply tonight, I remind you, pray for God's children. Pray for your fellow believers. And Paul's prayer life is the best example you will find in Scripture of what you should pray for other believers. There's one example, and I'll turn to it, in Colossians 1 verse 9 to 11. One of the great prayers of Paul, he prayed for wisdom, knowledge, holiness, fruitfulness, strength for the believers in Colossae. And we should be praying for our fellow Christians that there would be a maturing and a growing, that there would be grace and love, knowledge, wisdom and strength, fruitfulness in the life of our fellow believers. May the Lord grant us a praying heart for our brethren. There was the steadfastness of his praying. He said, without ceasing, I make mention of you always. He continued in prayer. The Lord Jesus used that little phrase, without ceasing. He said, men ought always to pray and not faint. Same, not the exact same phrase, same idea. He told a parable and a story about one who besought the unjust judge, the friend at midnight. And it was an example to show how we're to continue in prayer. Said it many times before, there's never a time when we should cease praying. And as we look to return to the public place of prayer, we trust that God's people will give themselves to the prayer meetings and will come along and join with us as we pray for each other and as we pray for God's work. And there was a sincerity of his prayer in verse 9, for God is my witness. He could say, with judgment day honesty, the Lord knows I'm praying for you and I haven't stopped. Oh, may we be sincere in our praying before the Lord. There's one final thought tonight that I leave with you. The people that he longed to be with, or the people he desired to see, the prayer he offered to God, the purpose he wanted for them. At the end of verse 11, really all of verse 11, for I long to see you, that I may impart some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. He wanted them established. The word means firm or fixed, strong and stable, immovable in the faith. And they would become established under the ministry of faithful men, men like Paul. That's what he's saying. I long to see you. They might impart some spiritual gift through his preaching. They'd be edified and they would be blessed and they would receive spiritual gifts to be established further in the faith. Not to be unstable, blown about with every wind of doctrine, to be blown about with every idea of man and religious thinking or anything else, but to be established and settled in the ministry and testimony of God's servants from his word. That's what he purposed for them. That's why he longed to see them. Peter prayed this prayer too, or had this desire in 1 Peter 5 verse 10 for the believers that he was familiar with and ministered to. He says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. His desire was that God would establish them. God would settle them. God would strengthen them. That's what Paul wanted for the Christians in Rome, to be established in the Christian faith. And that's what we want for every professing believer, to be strong and established, firm and fixed in the faith of the gospel. And that's why we long to see you, to encourage you in the things of God, in your relationship and walk with God, in your service for God. For I long to see you. After 15 weeks where we have missed you, we trust that we're coming very close to the time when we will see you in the flesh again. And may the Lord establish us further in the faith of the gospel as we gather again to worship.